Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, ACREC, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, but mostly books we love.
And other bookish things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to do today. So maybe we'll start off with Amelia. What have you been reading lately?
Well, in school, I've been reading To Kill a Mockingbird, which is not enjoyable.
Oh,
but
no.
I also have this book, To Make Monsters Out of Girls by Amanda Lovelace, which is a poetry collection that my parents got for me a couple months ago.
Hmm.
I haven't read any of it yet. I got it a bit late for National Poetry Month, and I'm a bit sad about that.
Hmm. Is it?
Some are good.
Are they?
Some can't be read on the radio as I'm looking through it now for the first time. but it's very interesting.
As far as you know, they're individual poems as opposed to like a story?
I believe that they are individual poems. I don't think they are a story.
It's got some nice design. It's all black and white and red. Like blood red.
Mm-hmm.
That looks like it'll be fun.
I'm also not sure if the author's name is a pseudonym or not, because it seems like, now that I'm reading the note from author in here, that it might not be her real name. It might be a pseudonym.
It's a cool name. Amanda Lovelace. Or yeah. Lovelace.
Lovelace, I think. But it's very interesting. And I guess she has some other books called The Women Are Some Kind of Magic series, which has two books in it, apparently, according to this. So it's very interesting.
Awesome. So that's one you're excited to read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
And you're not excited about To Kill a Mockingbird?
It's not good. It's not as good as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it had a plot, and then it didn't, and now it does again, and it's a different plot, and it's weird. Which I guess kind of makes sense, because it's supposed to be told through, like, the perspective of, like, this little 8-year-old girl named Scout. But it's just... I'm just not enjoying it very much.
That's too bad. I actually don't remember how much I liked it when I read it. I don't remember hating it, and I don't remember loving it. So I think I enjoyed it, but not... It wasn't one of my favorite reads of high school. But I think for a lot of people it is.
Hmm.
And so I'm curious if how much also I mean, the way that it's read in school.
There's still a ton of the book left, so maybe I'll start to like it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I just was upset because I had to read, like, over 7 chapters over the break.
No.
But maybe that's it.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes with books in school, how you read it makes a big difference, too. Like, if you're reading it aloud or if you're reading it too slowly or too quickly, it can make a huge impact on your enjoyment of it.
Yeah.
But I hope it gets better for you since you have to read it. You have no choice. And you finished the Wings of Fire? Are you still making your
way
through?
I am nearly finished with it. I'm finally done reading through my A-Push textbooks, and I have more time to read stuff I actually want to read.
What'd you call it? A-Push?
My APUS history. That's what everyone calls
it.
Is that wrong? I don't know. I don't think it is.
I don't think it's wrong, but I've never heard it. It's cute, though.
A ton of people call it that. I guess it's just a new thing.
Mm-hmm. So you're almost all the way through the textbook?
I am finished with the textbook. I've taken the test. I'm done.
Wow.
I am done.
I know more about U.S. history than anyone in the world.
I know.
My AP U.S. history class in high school, we never finished the textbook.
Oh.
And so we made it to about sometime in the 1960s, and that was it. So then any question on the test that was past that date... We did not know. And it included one of the essay questions, so that was fun.
No. I got an essay question that was like about a certain political ideology that I knew nothing about and spent the entire test praying, man, I hope I don't get any questions about this. And then it was an essay question. I was so relieved when it wasn't any of the multiple choice, only to realize that it was the PBQ.
And you're like, what am I going to say?
It's like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't even remember what I did with that question because I think I just had no idea anything about it. So it's like, how do you even...
Yeah, I totally made up the entire essay. I just wrote, like, I was just like, well, I can write
do my best
about this other thing that's not that thing. So mm-hmm. at least I have writing there.
Well, at least you're done.
Yeah. I'm done with both my AP tests, AP Bio and AP US History.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I have a few books I could talk about.
Ooh.
Let's see. So first up, I guess I can talk about White Rose, which I read. I think I started it during National Poetry Month and finished in early May. And it is a verse novel that is historic fiction based on actual events. And it centers around Sophie Scholl, who is a young German college student who challenged the Nazi regime during World War II as part of the White Rose, a nonviolent resistance group. And she and her brother and this group created these leaflets that were considered treason because they were against their government. And they got arrested. And I guess I won't spoil what happened, whether or not they get out, but it is based on history. So if you know that history, you go into the book knowing. But I can read you a little bit from it. I thought it was really interesting reading it in verse form. So I've seen a movie about her, and I know there's some nonfiction written about her, but I thought the verse worked really well. I think the book also starts off very well. Oh, and so the way the book is set up, it goes back and forth between present time, like after the arrest and the trial, and then going back in time to when she was younger and leading up to
so arrest. Like flips like before and after things. Mm-hmm. I love books that do that.
Yeah. And it's mostly from her perspective, but every once in a while there's the perspective of like the judge in her case, her boyfriend Fritz who's away at war, I forget who else, there's a custodian. So every once in a while it's from a different perspective, but it's primarily from the perspective of Sophie Scholl. And it starts off at the end, February 18, 1943, Gestapo headquarters. The cars screech to a halt. Officers pull us out by the arms, haul us inside and off to separate rooms, my heartbeat pounding all the while. Boom, 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 boom. They swing the door shut, unlock my handcuffs, order me to sit, rush about with coats, hats, cases, papers, as I try not to give in to the overwhelming, sickening knowledge spreading through me. The two of us are trapped in this net because of me. Boom, 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 boom. I take a deep breath and prepare to fight for our lives. Ooh. So that's how the story starts at the end.
Oh, that's how it starts?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And then another part of the book that I thought was really strong, I can read. This is also later in the end part, not in the beginning part. So this one's called Freedom. After I read my indictment, sign my life away on the bottom, I write a single word, Freiheit, on the back of the paper. Across the room, my cellmate has tears in her eyes, but I turn to the window, let the sunshine warm my face. Such a lovely day. But what does my death matter if it means more students will continue what we started, if it means our actions will start a revolution, if it means others might live? The sun still shines. I open my eyes, take in the beauty that I know lies beyond these walls, insert my spirit into a sunbeam, send a ray of hope into this hopeless world.
And this story takes place, when was it again?
In the 1940s.
Oh.
So, some of the before part might take place earlier. I can't remember how much it goes into her childhood, but she was arrested in the early 40s. So yeah, it's a very inspiring story. And I think a lot of times when people talk about Nazi Germany, they talk about why did people just sit around and how did people let this happen? Mm-hmm. And I think that question is still valid in many cases, but there are people who stood up and took a stand and were really brave and inspiring. So I think it's important to hear those stories too.
Yeah.
And I loved that it was a verse novel. So now I have to read the nonfiction book that's supposed to be really good about them. So the books that I'm talking about are all very different. So that one's a historic fiction verse novel. And then I also recently read Stargirl. Have you ever read that one by Jerry Spinelli?
I have not.
Sort of like it's a classic YA novel, although it was written in the early 2000s, so it's not that old. But I think it's considered sort of a bit of a classic. And it's told from the perspective of a young man named Leo. And he goes to school at Micah High, which is in, I believe it's in Arizona, because they always talk about the Sonoran Desert, and that's where I believe the Sonoran Desert is. But their school is just kind of normal, everything's kind of the same. Yeah. And then one day, this girl comes to their school who had been homeschooled until then, and she shows up in strange costumey outfits, playing a ukulele and singing people happy birthday in the room, bringing her pet rat to school with her. And she's just very interesting, unique, quirky, and she kind of catches everybody by surprise, and then sort of everyone becomes enchanted with her. Leo falls in love with her, but then at some point her quirkiness crosses a line for some people in the school, and they turn up against her. And so she goes from being wonderfully accepted for her differences to being shunned for her differences. And then Leo convinces her to maybe try to be normal and try to be like everybody else, except that doesn't really work either. And so it kind of looks at this period of time and this relationship that Leo has with Stargirl. I don't know if I mentioned her name is Stargirl.
Oh.
She goes by Stargirl. hence the name of the story. And, you know, kind of both like this interesting time and celebrating differences, but also realizing that some people aren't comfortable with differences. And first love. It's just an interesting sort of contemporary read with some fascinating characters, especially Stargirl. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've heard about that book for a long time, and many people that I know have listed it as one of their favorite books, but for some reason I never read it. And then recently I decided it was time, and so I'm glad I did. And I listened to it on audio, which was really great. It was read by the late John Ritter, who was an actor who passed away also in the early 2000s. But yeah, so highly suggest the audiobook especially. And what's interesting is it kind of ends in an interesting place where it doesn't seem like there would be a sequel, but there actually is another book in the series. So I'm curious about that. And then the third book I wanted to talk about is The Darkest Part of the Forest by Holly Black.
I think you've told me about this one before, but I can't quite remember what you said it was about.
Yeah, it's a Battle of the Books book.
So ooh, that's why I knew it. I knew before. It sounded familiar.
And it was the last of the Battle of the Books books for me to read. And I also listened to the audiobook for this. It was also good. And I'm going to read the book description for this because I think it's written really well.
Ooh.
Children can have a cruel, absolute sense of justice. Children can kill a monster and feel quite proud of themselves. A girl can look at her brother and believe they're destined to be a knight and a bard who battle evil. She can believe she's found the thing she's been made for. Hazel lives with her brother Ben in the strange town of Fairfold, where humans and fae exist side by side. The fairies' seemingly harmless magic attracts tourists, but Hazel knows how dangerous they can be, and she knows how to stop them. Or she did, once. At the center of it all, there is a glass coffin in the woods. It rests right on the ground, and in it sleeps a boy with horns on his head and ears as pointed as knives. Hazel and Ben were both in love with him as children. The boy has slept there for generations, never waking, until one day he does. As the world turns upside down, Hazel tries to remember her years, pretending to be a knight, but swept up in a new love, shifting loyalties, and the fresh sting of betrayal. Will it be enough?
And I love fantasy.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
I can't really wait. Liked this one a lot. I think Holly Black's a really great writer, and I think the world she created is very interesting, and I like the characters a lot. And I kind of like that there's like this fantastical element, but there's also a real world connection. You know, sometimes I actually do like fantasy where it's a new world that has no connection to our modern world.
Yeah.
But I also really like when they can connect them both.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that it's this town that is more or less like a town that we would live in, but they have fairies in their world. And there's, you know, there's this like coffin in the woods, this glass coffin with this mysterious character, fantastical character that's been sleeping there, kind of like Sleeping Beauty, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like all the teenagers in town like go out into the woods and party and like try to see if they can break open the glass. And so it's interesting, the fantastical living side by side with the realistic.
Yeah.
I think it's an excellent choice for our Battle of the Books. The books this year are very good and diverse. I like that about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. So that was a third book that I read recently. And then one more that's it's a little younger. I recently was visiting with family for a wedding and got to start reading the third book in the Ruby Lou series. Ruby Lou, star of the show, with my niece, Mila. And we didn't get to finish it while we were together, but I came home and borrowed it from the library and finished it up. And I really love the Ruby Loose series. It's by Lenore Look and illustrated by Steph Choi. And Ruby Lou is, I forget in the first book what grade she's in, but in this book she's in third grade. So it might be second grade when it starts, because I think the second one is set over the summer. But she's a young Chinese American girl, and she lives with her parents and her baby brother. And then in the second book, some of her family comes to move with her, including her cousin, whose name is Flying Duck, who is deaf and speaks Chinese sign language. And she can also read lips, and she's learning American Sign Language once she moves to the United States. So she's a really cool character. Totally impressed by her. But Ruby Lou, star of the show, is a lot of it centers around her father losing his job. So he's the, you know, main breadwinner for the family, and he loses his job. And so he's trying to find another job while they're trying to keep their expenses down. And then eventually the mother ends up finding a job. And so then the sort of dynamic in the family shifts, where the dad becomes the stay-at-home dad doing housework, and the mother's making the money. Mm-hmm. And Ruby Lou is trying to figure out ways to help out. And sometimes they're very comical, the ways that she tries to make some money. And there's also some interesting parts in school where they're learning haiku. So there's like a number of haiku moments throughout the book where she's writing little haikus. So that was also fun reading, especially after National Poetry Month, where we'd been reading so much poetry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just a very cute series. I'm actually sorry that it's only three books. I wish there were more. But yeah, so those are the books I've read recently that are youth appropriate. Actually, I have one more I could mention. Skyward, Volume 1, My Low-G Life by Jo Henderson, is a graphic novel that I think is up for an Eisner this year. I remember when it first came out, I thought it sounded really interesting and wanted to read it, but didn't get around to it. And then I think what sparked me reading it recently was that I saw it was nominated for an Eisner. But it centers around a young woman named Willa Fowler, who was born just after G-Day, which was the day that gravity on Earth suddenly became a fraction of what it is now. So it takes place 20 years later. And so it's the United States, or this, you know, I guess I don't remember if it's specifically the United States, but it looks like a familiar world to us, except that people have to beware of gravity. Like if you jump, you may not come down. And early on, her dad announces that he thinks he may have figured out how to turn things back to normal. And he was part of a group that were part of G-Day happening. So there's some interesting stuff there. Some people don't want it to go back to the way it is. And some people do. And her dad's kind of, since G-Day, has been a bit of a shut-in, because when that day happened, his wife ended up floating away.
Oh.
And he wasn't able to save her because he had to choose between saving the daughter, protecting the daughter, and saving his wife. So he obviously has some trauma from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know if there's a new book in the series.
This is a graphic novel?
Yeah, so it's a graphic novel series. Oh, it does look like there's a volume 2 out. Ooh, I'll have to get that. So it's a comic series, so it comes out in issues, and then this was the first volume collecting those issues. But it does look like a couple months ago volume 2 was released. So
ooh.
Yay. I hate having to wait for new volumes in comic series because I read through them so fast. Like, I'll get a new comic and I'll just read it in one sitting usually.
Yeah.
And then you have to wait like a year or half a year for the next volume to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Or in some cases, a new volume never comes out. And that's very upsetting. But yeah, so those are the books I've been reading recently. We're just about out of time. We're going to play some music now. And for those listening to us on Sunday, we'll be right back in a little bit to talk about some more books. Mm-hmm. For those listening on Thursday, this is it for today, and we hope you have a good week.
Bye.
Happy reading.
You don't know a thing about a story, tell it wrong all the time. Don't know a thing about a glory, wanna steal my baby shine. By Morrison and Russ. All my friends somebody's daddy always laid out on the street. And for what? We on the street. And for what? Your precious little fear. Your precious little fear. You could change your hood just by showing your face. Condo climbing high, now the block is erased. You don't get it, get it. You clutch on your purse, now you crossing the street. Brother caught your eye, now you calling police. You don't get it, get it.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. Mm-hmm. Amelia's here. We're Hello. From Bound by Books. And we're here to talk a little bit more about books with y'all.
Yep.
So is the book of poetry mentioned to make monsters out of girls? Is that your next read?
Actually. I think so.
Yeah.
It seems like it might go pretty quick since it's just a bunch of poems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really pretty and scary.
It's definitely more on, like, the morbid side of, like, poetry.
Mm-hmm. That can be fun. I'd like to read more poetry. We read a lot of poetry during National Poetry Month, but I'm trying to make a practice of reading poetry more frequently.
Yeah.
Especially, like, collections of poetry. Like that.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever read, like, a real deal collection of poetry. I've just read the, things like... Like Ellen Hopkins with the way she writes mm-hmm. books.
Yeah, like a verse novel.
In verses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that. I've never read one just with no real story.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of poems.
But maybe that's one.
It has nice illustrations every so often, too.
Yeah, the color scheme of the, like, black and white with red.
It's red, black, and white.
It reminds me of Emily Carroll's Through the Woods graphic novel short story collection. Which was, and also the morbidity of that appears to be in that book reminds me of that too. Because they were all kind of like creepy stories that have to do with the woods in some way. Hence, Through the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Is there anything else on your to-read list?
The first book battle book I want to read is Six of Crows.
Yay!
And aftermath that, maybe the one you talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Darkest Part of the Woods.
Forest, yeah. Yay, we're excited to get started with Battle of the Books. If anyone out there listening is interested in joining our team, we still have room for some more teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, you just read these 5 awesome books over the summer and practice trivia about them and then compete in the regional battle, which this year is going to be held at Columbia Green Community College. So it's right here in our home turf.
Yep.
But yeah, feel free to reach out to me at the library. It's info@hudsonarealibrary.org. It's for teens entering grades 9 to 12. And also, if you're just graduating from high school this year, you're still eligible through the summer. And we'd be happy to read with you and practice with you and battle on your team, not with you, mm-hmm. not against you.
Yeah.
So I think we're just about out of time for today.
Okay.
But we hope everyone has a great week, reads lots of great books. Happy reading.
Bye.